threw in the Blue Van, who are from Copenhagen. They'll be playing North by Northeast as well. And I'm going to end it with one more song by Eugene Ripper, singing songs about outlaws, trains, love gone bad, lust, shipwrecks, fast cars, betrayal, Vincent Van Gogh, and the People's Republic of China. And Eugene is an original member of Stark Naked and the Fleshtones, who also featured Andrew Cash, and they will be playing over at the Bovine on Saturday night. So check them out. And I guess I'm going to be handing it over to the fine folks at the Rude Awakening. That's it. And it is a rude awakening. It's been a long night. So here's Eugene Ripper on CKLN.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Center in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission, and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
I know I've seen this place before, but it's never been so fun. Yeah. It's never been so fun.
Check it out. Here we go.
I've been on the run. The shadow weighs a ton. It's starting to make sense to me. I can't really make you love me.
No, no, you know I can't
really make you love me.
Don't get it done, I'm on the run.
I've been on the run. My shadow weighs a ton. I know I found the recipe for me, but I can't really make you love me. Oh, no, you know I can't really make you love me.
Check it out. I'm haunted the overseas, haunted on each coast. Played them like Ebenezer, I made them see the
good
ghost.
Morning, CKLN
back from the
listeners.
Future, Johnny and Japanese.
It is the 17th day of June, 2010. You're here on Rude Awakening, CKLN's Rude Awakening, here on 88.1 FM. CKLN.FM online and Rogers Cable Box 947. Exactly. I can't really make you love me, but you can't really try to deny these words when they're true. A little shout out courtesy of Toronto artist Chaos, who brought up in a conversation yesterday with a MC friend of mine on the streets of Toronto I just happened to run into. So I thought I'd play that this morning. Also just happened to run into an officer of the Metro Toronto Police Force. I was filming the new protest fence outside of Union Station. Yesterday around noonish, just finished going up. I actually just heard reports it just finished going up, so I was like, all right, I'll go down there, take a look at it, talk a bit of smack. And I'm approaching it from the east side, kind of walking along the middle barrier, doing my filming in public thing, doing my if you don't want me to see something, put it inside. If you don't want me to see your funny colored, or your pink, Mickey Mouse underwear hanging from your clothesline, then, don't hang it from your clothesline. So that's my attitude about these things. But we're all given different understandings of the world and different responsibilities. I'm at fault for my mistakes and mine. I'm not at fault. Someone's at fault for the mistakes in mine, and I got to do the best I can to figure them out and operate within given constructs, including here on CKLN Radio. I know that as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, I used to be able to play music here with cursing in it. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I figure, who's listening? But we do have a couple of enemies of this community radio station here, and they tend to make trouble for us. Well, all we're trying to do is make good music and make good news out of bad here at community radio.
4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what. 4, 3, 2, 1, what we fighting for? 3, 2, 1, I don't know what.
And so, that's better. There we go. Sorry about that, folks. I have to compensate for some magical technical headphone issues here as I perceive them when I put on headphones once in a while. So I'm down by Union Station, and I start filming the fence, and I start talking a bunch of smack about the fence. I actually passed a couple of police officers on the other side of the fence. It is a giant, ugly monstrosity. It's outside of Union Station. People are weaving their way in and out of it. I never got closer than, 15 feet, 20 feet from it as I was filming with my little silver Canon camera and commenting. But there's no eastbound traffic, really, on the north side of you're just north of Union, eastbound along Front. And there was an officer, a black gentleman, Officer Blake, who stopped me, and in a perfectly reasonable, solid way, asked me, for my ID, and I tried to be very respectful and say, do you mind letting me know if I've done anything wrong? Because I'm looking for probable cause in this, and I'm not thinking. I know there's a million ways out of this. I know that my colleagues at PressFOR Truth.ca, whose screening of the new film United We Fall about the merger of Canada, America, and Mexico, thanks to the SPP Security and Prosperity Partnership at SPP.gov, if you want to go see the official documentation, the sequel to NAFTA basically signed in March of 2005 to be completed this year in 2010 to merge the policies and regulations of Canada, America, and Mexico and put most of them under control of a handful of trilateral working groups represented by the corporate elite of each country. So you now befall three nations, two sides, one union. There's a screening of that film on Friday at the Bloor Cinema from 7 to 9 p.m. And so go to press, P-R-E-S-S-F-O-R, truth.ca to learn more about that. Drop by the Bloor Cinema, see some clips of the film, trailers, and so on. But the reason I bring them up right now in this particular context is my colleague Brian Law was filming in public at, like, Trinity Bellwoods Park, which is supposedly an early site of a protest, you know, whatever. And he was stopped and asked for ID, and the Globe and Mail even covered it, so nice of them too. The Globe and Mail said they gave up their ID quickly as press, and they were left to do their business, whereas these guys who were independent media, like I, you know, could be for CKLN Radio, or I could be doing it for my own interests, chose not to, to help guarantee the rights of all Canadians to continue filming in public. Because if it comes to sort of a two-tiered system where, oh, you're press? Really? What kind of press? How serious should I take you? Do you work for a major corporation? Oh, well, maybe you're just a joke. Because, you know, that type of thing could end up happening if we don't preserve that type of freedom. But right now, I'm gonna get Mr. Alan Watt to break down what's going on, just so the rest of this conversation has some context. From cuttingthroughthematrix.com.
Millions of years. And suddenly this stuff is all here.
So Mr. Alan Watt is among the best I can figure out at breaking down the big picture of the system, the establishment, the elite out there and their goals for us from cuttingthroughthematrix.com and then back to what happened yesterday and more.
And now they say that they're okay too, by the way. The recent discovery, I read that last week, pig viruses are okay, even though they didn't know they were there initially. They suddenly decided, without even investigating them, that it's okay for you to have pig viruses inside you. So there's reasons for this. It's not stupidity. It isn't just big money. It's to bring down the population, folks. That's what it's about, bringing down the population. All the big foundations are right into it, through all their charities and their aids and everything. And you're not supposed to really think about that much. You're supposed to think they're out there handing out chocolate bars to people in Africa and helping them because they love them. And nothing, of course, is further from the truth. Nothing at all is further from the truth. There's a great article about foundations, and this ties into what I mentioned yesterday of the incredible network of foundations that run the world, including the network of foundations that are tied in completely with the intelligence services that are not answerable to the public. They get to do things that the intelligence services can't do. They want to do, so they use these other organizations to do it for them. It's been like that for over 100 years. That's part of the reason the philanthropies were created in the first place. And there's an excellent site with good documentation, very good documentation, and you can validate it yourself by checking out the links he has on it. It's by Michael Barker, and he goes. It's a three-part series he put up there on the net, and he talks about the beginnings of, for instance, the Bill Gates Foundation, how it started, all the organizations that are behind it, in it, the people who are involved in it and what they're really up to, and how, through their great philanthropy, mixed with bringing down the population, they're helping the world with all their different GM food stuff they're dumping across the planet. I noticed, by the way, that Haiti is burning millions of tons of GM food that they were given to grow in a charitable gift. They don't want this stuff in their country. I'll read first, before I read this article, though, I'll read an article here from a listener of mine that I know very well. He's got hens. He breeds hens for himself and his family. And he noticed they all stopped laying, just suddenly stopped laying. So he wrote to the Co-op Feed, that's a big company that supplies the feed. He says, and asked them if there was any GM corn in the feeds. And he told them why he was wondering, because it all stopped laying. And this is a response he got from them. And the co-ops are all across Canada. I think they have them in the States as well, maybe by the same name, in fact. And this is what they got back. He says, yes, there's most likely a genetically modified grain in the majority of our feeds. In Canada, there is no separation of non-GM feedstuffs and GM feedstuffs. I am not sure of the exact figures, but close to 50% of corn is from GM seed, and over 50% of canola and soybean are from GM seed. If you want a feed which is not genetically modified, a certified organic feed is probably your only option. We do carry a line of certified organic feed. So they know darn well what they're doing, because they also have this organic feed, which will cost an awful lot more. Same in Canada too. Anything you buy off the stores doesn't list if it's GM or not. That's the law here in Canada, because you see, we were the test bed for this awful stuff, this poison, long before anybody else in the world was tested with it. Our government admitted eventually, when it broke out from Britain, of all places, that we were the test guinea pigs for the whole world, and had been eating it for 10 years without our knowledge at that time. And that's now 20 years we've been on it. So they do want to bring down the population, and it's really helping with sterility too, so it's doing its job and killing us off faster as well. But philanthropy, back to philanthropy, and the guys who really want to dump this stuff across the planet, and Bill Gates, of course, that you think is a little whiz kid with computers, which is far from the truth. He was just brought up, special family, of course, and pushed into a position, and the gates were, well, it was well named, the gates were certainly open for him, and is completely tied in with the CIA, the NSA, and a whole bunch of other organizations worldwide. So it goes on here. It says, like many of the world's richest businessmen, Bill Gates believes in a special form of democracy, otherwise known as plutocracy, that is socialism for the rich and capitalism for the poor. Following in the footsteps of the robber barons like John D. Rockefeller, who he works with, by the way, and Andrew Carnegie, who founded two of America's most influential liberal foundations, that is the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Corporation, Gates, like most capitalists, relies upon the government to help regulate and protect his business interests from competition, but is less keen on the idea of a government that acts to redistribute wealth to the wider populace. Dean Baker surmises this idea when he writes that Bill Gates is, after all, one of the heroes of the conservative nanny state. In the minds of such massively powerful would-be capitalists, the state is merely a tool to be harnessed for profit maximization, and they themselves, the one who have acquired their wealth by exploiting and manipulating the economic system, then take it upon their own shoulders to help relieve global inequity and inequality and escalating poverty. The modern day's white man's burden. As one might expect, the definitions of the appropriate solutions to the capitalist-driven inequality that are generated by the world's most successful capitalists neglect to seriously challenge the primary driver of global poverty, and that's their capitalism. For the most part, the incompatibility of democracy and capitalism remains anathema to all except liberal philanthropists. Industriously fund all manner of solutions that help provide a much-needed outlet valve for rising resistance and dissent, while still enabling business as usual, albeit with a band-aid stuck over some of the most glaring inequalities. With huge government-aided financial empires resting in the hands of a small power elite, and by the way, this is the same power elite that gave you the European Union, the NAFTA agreement, the GATT agreement for China. It's a world empire. It's their world empire. It's completely tied in with all the big names that you've known from all the other exposés over the years. It says the ability of the richest individual philanthropists to shape global society is increasing all the time, while the power of governments to influence society is being continuously undermined by many of the powerful philanthropists. Look at George Soros. He's telling governments what to do. This situation is problematic on a number of levels, least of not which is that existing theories of democratic governance find no legitimate role for liberal philanthropists acting as extra-constitutional planners. We'll go into this stuff deeper and see who's all involved with it. And it's all the big names, Madeleine Albright, all these people. Back with more after this. Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix, talking about big foundations and how they're all interlinked in one big web across the world, into everything, and into governments too, and on their panels of governments that are appointed, you know, and depopulation, and so all that kind of stuff, like Optimum Trust. They're all connected through the same groups, a parallel government, if you wish, and again, all interconnected as well with your intelligence agencies. They do the things intelligence agencies can't really do openly, such as going over to Africa and dump lots of drugs, supposedly for AIDS, that kill them off all the quicker, to which we all pay for over here, mind you, for the big corporations that are in league with Bill Gates and others. So it says here, for instance, in 1999, Microsoft helped found a corporate front group called Americans for Technology Leadership. Sounds nice, doesn't it? A group which decides its role as being dedicated to limiting government regulation of technology and fostering competitive market solutions to public policy issues affecting the technology industry. In 2001, Joseph Men and Edmund Sanders alleged that Americans for Technology Leadership orchestrated a nationwide campaign to create the impression of a surging grassroots movement to help defend Microsoft from monopoly charges. The founder of this front group, Jonathan Zook, also created another libertarian group in 1998 called the Association for Competitive Technology, a group which was in part sponsored by Microsoft to fight against the antitrust actions being pursued against Microsoft in the United States. Such anti-democratic campaigns waged via front groups and AstroTurf organizations, that was another one, AstroTurf they made as well, however, were just one part of Microsoft's democratic manipulations. This is because, as Greg Miller and Leslie Helm demonstrated in 1998, this was just one part of a program that Microsoft and PR giant Edelman have been planning as part of a massive media campaign designed to influence state investigators by creating the appearance of a groundswell of public support for the company. None of this should be surprising because in 1995 it was also revealed how Microsoft were using consultants to generate computer analysis of reporters' articles, enlist industry sources to critique writers they know, and less frequently provide investigative peeks into journalists' private lives.
That's why I say the protest you gon' do before this. That's why I say the protest you gon' do before this. Lawn sun stay shining, I stay grinding, rain check still smiling. Gather round for class before you gather round for your mask. While they masking troops, I'm asking you, ain't there something you can do to tell the truth to someone new? Or even someone old, don't matter, you heard it. Now the story need told, can't wait till they burn it. We in a Orwell universe, when they sell in hell, and we rehearse. So do what you wanna see them showing up, no you're just doing what they want, son. That's why I say, the protest, you gon' do before this. That's why I say, the protest, you gon' do before this. Long as sun stay shining, I stay grinding, rain check still smiling. Been the same since the 60s, got us this far, where the hell is we? And where we going next? 20 countries run the world, that got me vexed. So I say screw a text, make them bleed with a screed so the people feel blessed. Can't chill, feeling stressed, I'm young and I'm blessed. Post no bills, I say hell yes. So what you stand for, if you really stand for it, stand for it before. On the streets there's a war for the minds of the poor who late for the war. Worldwide rebellion, can't you steam for some rock concert yelling? Fans blowing off steam, ain't spelling no way out, that's why I'm yelling. That's why I say a protest you gon' do before this. That's why I say a protest you gon' do before this. That's why I say a protest you gon' do before this. Long as sun stay shining, I stay grinding, rain check still smiling.
It all falls down. I'm telling you, it all
back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was a clip from Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, an episode called Philly Gatekeeper, GMO Crop World Fever, GMO Crop World Feeder, Philanthropy Prancer for Rising Cancer. Mr. Watt's a bit of a poet, a Canadian national treasure and gift to the world, whose work can be found at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. And the reason I played that, the reason I started off the show this way, is I want to make, you know, my intentions clear. They may not be clear to somebody, you know, anybody, until, you know, I make them clear. Because I move a little bit differently in this culture. But I'm going to get back to the little magical anecdotage from yesterday. So I'm shooting the damn $1 billion. Well, not everything went to that, but certainly, you know, that thing probably cost more than it should have, because $1 billion for a 2-day conference, you know, it's only this expensive because they got to pay for stuff downtown, and because, you know, there have been known to be kickbacks in the military-industrial complex, as coined by President Dwight D. Eisenhower in his farewell speech from office in 1961. So to catch up on the show, start off with I Shot the Sheriff by Bob Marley, classic song. Hosting radio shows here since the summer of 2006 when I started co-hosting Tuesday Mornings Rude Awakenings with my colleague Mark Bills, a.k.a. Mark Balkowski, veteran CKLN alumnus, doing well right now and still helping out the station when he can. So shout-outs to Mr. Bills. Miss you, man. But since then, I've been saying, and since before then, when I was talking to hip-hop and recording music, you know, I keep telling the kids, don't say F the police. Don't say F the police. They teach you to say F the police. Don't say F the police. You're going to start street beef that you can't finish. And that's completely pointless. And you just, what's the point of doing that? What does it accomplish? So I've been saying this for years. And I've been saying, well, y'all, you know, recently learned to say F the police. Bob Marley, 30 years ago, figured out I shot the sheriff, I didn't shoot the deputy. And so it's important for all of us to remember that that possibility. So start off with I Shot the Sheriff, breaking down a little chaos. Wish I knew Natalie Portman. Can't really make you love me. And yeah, I think that is, you know, something that that I'll stress here, in the sense that I can't necessarily, the way I move, you know, I can be a lot more sociopathic about things, and I can be a charming bastard, you know, and just kind of, I'm fairly quick, you know, mentally, and so I can figure out what you want, and I can try and, you know, give that to you the way a lot of sociopaths kind of move and psychopaths move in this culture. But I don't feel like it. Not when it all might fall down anyway. And then talk about the interaction with the officer. But I wanted to set up, you know, what the problem is. And the problem, as I see it, is this. We got the protest, a giant $1 billion staged fake video game fight on the streets of Toronto that we're supposed to participate in. We're supposed to show up and go, yo. Here, I'll break out the 20. Look what I just read in yesterday's 24. It's on page 3 of 24. Military snipers to keep watch. Top military snipers who served in Afghanistan will be stationed on the rooftops of high-rises around the Metro Convention Center when leaders of the G20 countries meet June 26th and 27th. You can catch my old shows from 2 weeks ago. I've been talking about this G20 nonsense for a minute, but check my shows from 2 weeks ago. And I was saying, a bunch of bored snipers on rooftops randomly training their snipers at, or their weapons at anybody that might look remotely terroristy. I mean, this is ridiculous. The snipers, the elite of the Canadian Forces, are among 1,600 out-of-town officers starting to arrive in Toronto this week to help members of an integrated security unit protect the more than 20 world leaders at the summit. All right, well, our media is fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how we take it, giving us a lot of information about this, doing a pretty good job breaking down. what's going on here in this city. So I'm trying to document that outside Union Station yesterday around noonish. Finish the show, finish uploading the show, go for a little walk through the path, checking out some of the changes, because I am going to be a noticeable observant guy. I mean, you know, the authorities are saying, hey, if you notice anything suspicious, call us. So if I walk around noticing suspicious stuff, hey, I'm just doing as requested. And if I call you or not, well, hey, maybe I was just noticing stuff and I didn't feel like calling you yet. All right, so I approached the officer, Officer Blake, and he stops me. He says, can I see some ID? He says, do you have any ID on you? Which, and again, this is in a New World Order construct. You heard Alan Watt mention that there's a bunch of fake foundation-funded activists out there, basically super rich people, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, I try and say this fairly often these days, put their money into tax-exempt foundations and then use those foundations to hand out grants to control activism and academia, including scientific research, including charities, including the response to, you know, things. That's why you get a lot of activist groups, you know, the government will raise, like, you know, whatever, you know, housing taxes or property taxes or they'll take off rent controls and rent will go up 4%. And then they'll get out in the streets and go, stop the 4%, stop the 4%. They don't indict the system. They just kind of, they react kind of like instead of acting, they react to what they're given to react in ways that they're supposed to react based on that paradigm. So you know, it's the type of thing which I'm determined to call into question. You know, as long as I you know, there's the possibility of doing so. So in that construct, in the construct of a world where there is a new world order, an Anglo-American establishment, as exposed by President Bill Clinton's mentor at Georgetown University when he was in law school there. Professor Bill Clinton's mentor, Carol Quigley, wrote two books, The Anglo-American Establishment in Tragedy and Hope, where he basically revealed the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations in New York, think tank of about 3,000-4,000 people, super smart people and influential people, including Angelina Jolie, oddly enough, in the new movie Salt. Spy or hero? You decide. Just saw some of those interactive ad pod posters at the Eaton Center. Just shaking my head like, ugh. You have a giant security lockdown of the city hassling all of us for no reason. There was only a whole bunch of movies and TV shows about the police and about the medical establishment to get us to have faith in them, regardless of how corrupt they became at the top and how that corruption filtered down, you know, through the ranks, because those services were meant to eventually become authorities. And this is, again, Alan Watt, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Plenty of others to reference for this sort of thing, but that's why you see over and over again, you know, these archetypes on TV, which change. You know, used to be our heroes were, you know, how you doing, officer? You know, can I make you a cup of coffee? Would you like to get off your feet? Thank you for patrolling the beat. And, you know, maybe we can have a chat about a few things that are going on around here because you're genuinely concerned. And it's your job to man up and feel like a man by going to get stuff for us, going to get criminals, going to clean things up, keeping the peace. But that's been changed over the years. As we got torturing Jack Bauer and others on 24, we've got a much more militarized, police forces these days. There's nothing against the police, you know, but I was at Caravana last year, when there was giant population control exercises as part of NLE, National Level Exercise 09, a NORTHCOM/NATO drill conducted by Canada, America, Australia, and England. To run population control exercises at Caravana that you know, police forces could never get away with as easily yet at, say, Taste of the Danforth, because it's a population of black, you know, tourists mainly, among others. And so, you know, they could have, you know, officers dressed in all black and riot gear with red, blue, and green flashing lights in their backs, just hurting people. Move this way. And other guys going, move this way. And clearing, say, Dundas Square in, like, you know, 2 minutes, when they could have done it piecemeal, you know, by just, you know, cordoning off sections over the course of, say, 5 or even 10. But this was an exercise in how quickly can we get people to move, you know, hither and yon. So I'm against that. But when I see something like that, again, I don't look at the police, because I know that whenever I've had a boss and I've been paid to do something, I did what they told me. And I also know that I've been saying this for a few years now. I've been saying a couple of things. I've been saying, one, I shot the sheriff. I didn't shoot the deputy. Stop saying F the police. I've been saying, let's say hi to all the cops out there, because if the establishment, the system, whatever, is going to put them everywhere, let's say what's up. Make sure they're on our side. Make sure you know we're cool with them. They're cool with us. And so on. But
allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is. Say the movie, dog.
And so I'm just reintroducing myself on these issues.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
And so. I've been saying I shot the sheriff, not at the police. Let's say hi to the cops out there. Give them a quick friendly nod if you can. And I've been basically doing a lot of this for a few years. But I've also been saying something that you know, very important, still resonates. And that is, you know, if the war on terror, which is what this security response is part of, 9/11 was an inside job 9 years ago. Government blew something up. They may have to blow something up, you know, here in Toronto to justify this $1 billion of security, like they may have had to blow up a bank in Ottawa or vandalize a few bank machines here. Because that's what governments do. And Hitler burned down the Reichstag, his Parliament building, to make himself a dictator. Pearl Harbor, there's no way in hell they didn't see, you know, a couple of dozen Japanese aircraft carriers sailing from Japan to Hawaii across the Pacific Ocean. So all that was a big stand down. Look at go watch 9/11, you know, Road to Tyranny. Go watch Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism by Alex Jones from Infowars.com for more on this sort of thing. Oklahoma was staged. There's no way a Ryder truck full of fertilizer did that kind of damage. And mainstream news reports at the time, when there was tons of, there's a lot more media before it consolidated back in 95 than there is now. Now that it's all squished together and owned by a handful of people. You know, so on. So that's a possibility. A bunch of cops were killed on 9/11 and firefighters and so on. So they're not happy that criminal elements and intelligence agencies inside their government, like to do this sort of thing. You know, because with their knowledge or without their knowledge, it's a hell of a way for things to go down. And it's all part of an emasculation of pride in your job and pride in who you are. And this is for all of us. And we're all going through this as, you know, the New World Order, you know, emasculates all of us and tells us to, you know, through a variety of means, to do what you're supposed to. And I got to bring up what Officer Blake mentioned. I wrote this down here. I said to him, I don't know if he is listening or he's not listening. For those of you folks out there, it is the 17th of June, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Radio. This is your Rude Awakening. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You can get the shows at archive, archiv.org, or radio, the number 4all.net, or blackkrishna.blogspot.com, where I also add other rantings and ravings of a related nature. But Officer Blake said to me one thing, and I've never at one point said that he was necessarily wrong for what he did, but I do know that he is in a judgment call situation, and he made a judgment call based on the role that he was given, at the time. And they were both nice and whatever. And I'm going to finish the story after playing a clip about faith in the system and how it can be shaken by bad policy. But Officer Blake stressed to me he wanted cooperation and communication mentioned. And he said that if you don't want to affect change in this world and you want to, like, deal with the system in a constructive way, you have to have you have to make sure you focus on cooperation and communication. That means you cooperate with us and you communicate with us. And I thought I was, by having the communication and conversation, but while also making clear that this was a rights issue for all Canadians with respect to showing my ID for filming in public. If it's a heightened scenario and you spend $1 billion, step up surveillance, but don't change what our rights are in this country. On that note, Deborah Cohen from the British Medical Journal on the Alex Jones Show is going to talk about the H1N1 scamdemic last summer, which I talked a lot of smack about, and faith in medicine being shaken by
flying through the risk of bad policy. Today, and actually the person quoting that was saying, oh, don't worry, in the UK we're fine, we've got lots of Tamiflu and Relenza, you know, it's all great. I know that person, that expert, is on the payroll of Roche. So, and what that just, what you worry about is there will be a lapse in confidence, and that can extend to legitimate, hardworking, honest experts and doctors. And you know, you worry that there will be a lapse in confidence if this continues and health bodies don't sort it out.
Well, doctor, isn't the bigger issue, and I've talked to a lot of other medical doctors who are concerned, take Obama's health care bill. I mean, a lot of that is where these boards decide the type of care that doctors can give. And so instead of a knee surgery, you get a cortisone shot or a cane. Or instead of eye surgery, you get glasses. Drugs. And so it's really the pharmaceutical companies are trying to basically expand their markets by changing the way medicine is practiced.
I think pharmaceutical companies will use any methods that they can. I mean, they market directly to doctors, they market directly to patients. Something that you guys have that we don't have is you have direct-to-consumer advertising where drug companies can market directly to patients. I mean, drug companies are sophisticated and, you know...
Now, imagine how dumb that is. They're telling the public to go ask your doctor about restless leg syndrome, and then the side effects are may make you kill yourself or go crazy or be obsessive gambling. I'm not kidding. I mean, these side effects to most of these drugs, it's like having trouble sleeping, jump off a cliff. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think you've hit on something that's quite interesting there, is this idea of disease mongering is what we call it. So this creation of syndromes to enable them to market drugs. And we are seeing more and more of this where you might have pre-diabetes. So a drug company can market a drug based on pre-diabetes. You might have pre-hypertension. So that is just before you have high blood pressure. Now these are new conditions. And it's what this is. It's a new term. It's called disease mongering. And so there's creation, like restless leg syndrome, like you're saying, you know. And there is this blurring of boundaries where diseases are being almost created to market drugs. And I think that is something that we are seeing more and more of. And it's something I think that we have to be, as a medical profession, that we have to be aware of.
Well, amazing, doctor. We're almost out of time, and as this develops, maybe in the next month or so, we can have you pop back in. But British Medical Journal is BMJ.com. Dr. Deborah Cohen, the article making headlines in literally hundreds of newspapers, is Conflict of Interest, WHO and the Pandemic Flu Conspiracies. WHO, of course, stands for World Health Organization. In the minute and a half left we've got here, I mean, do you think I'm correct in saying that the next big pandemic, whether real, hyped, or whatever, that if we ever face something that really is dangerous, people may not respond like they should because of all the other crying wolf we've seen? What's your take on that?
And I think that is a real risk. And I think one of the problems is that it's very difficult to communicate. As a doctor, it's very difficult to communicate uncertainty. So it's very difficult to say to people, look, guys, we're not sure what's going to happen. And this is one of the problems that's happened with pandemic flu, is that level of uncertainty hasn't been communicated and it has been hyped. And I think the danger is when something serious does happen, that people won't listen or just say, oh, that same thing again. And that is the risk. And hopefully that won't happen. And hopefully, you know, things won't be hyped and risk will be communicated a lot better than it has been. You know, here's the hoping. So, but that is the danger. And unless the major health organisations address certain issues, then it will be the public health system that loses out.
Absolutely.
Like you know it's on, ride like you know it's one, ride like you know it's on, ride like you know it's one, ride like you know it's on, ride like you know it's one, ride like you know it's on, ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know we've been running a race against time for a thousand years or more. Fine. If that's what it takes, run laps around things on the tape till we take our time. Might flip, do a backflip, trip back, rip a wormhole in time. Might expose their plans, then they plans now and how to stop them from lying. Break down a pyramid scheme right before a pyramid lands on our dreams. Fight for a better way to see kids' dreams and parents not crushed by vaccines. But too long it seems, we too strong it seems for mean greens and SWAT teams. Kiss out of pensions on the last, but try and breed and try to say what they mean.
unapologetic in the real breakthrough. Same way they stoop, stage crews, crush politically correct crews. Comic class, mistral and mass hypnosis, put them on blast. I'm banging out doses of red chill things so we can skill at will. Keep it real and still keep our ability to build. My agility embedding reality feels like I was sleeping, slipping off propaganda banana peels. Plans within plans, wheels within wheels. Congeal till we feel, they reveal, and we can deal. Nothing more you can ask for. Got the crew form a task force, rush out of our ship, ain't rip a mask off.
CKLN listeners. Again, that was Ms. Deborah Cohen, editor of the British Medical Journal. And one of the biggest medical journals in the world, now, you know, almost being forced to come out and say, yeah, the New World Order forces behind globalization, though she might phrase it differently, the big pharmaceutical companies, whatever, you know, they overplayed they played the World Health Organization. This World Health Organization is apparently responsible for the world's health, like the World Court and World Bank, and all this other world global governance, New World Order garbage. Globalization, it just means globally centralizing power for super rich people. The New World Order, the bloodline, Illuminati families, the secret societies, and all that sort of thing. And it's a mistake. Decentralized power and honest money are how we got to go. If the dude up the street was in charge of my health care and he messed with my health, I might go up there and mess with his. And then we have a little accountability around here. And that's also why I say F a protest. Because when you go out there and you anonymously, you know, in a sheeple style way, blend into a crowd, when you show up for a hockey game and they bring a stick and you don't, you know you're going to lose. You know, I don't want to go toe-to-toe with anybody in an armed confrontation like straight out of a video game. But I sure as hell don't want to have, you know, 1,600 out-of-town cops and snipers, you know, all hopped up on the fact that, you know, they've been told that we're all potential, you know, terrorists and that they can get excessive with us and that they set the expectations that you know, they're definitely going to be some trouble and they're definitely going to be arresting people. You know, they got a film studio over Queen Street East there, or where they can, you know, they can chuck a bunch of people in there and hold them. And there's reports that they're going to treat people there for injuries, but that the treating of those injuries may be used as an excuse to keep them from getting back out there into this supposed, you know, ridiculous fight. So to make all that clear, we are all operating within a system that's managed by the New World Order and trying to do, you know, what we do or what we can or whatever to be individuals within that system who can think. And so to challenge some of these constructs is to say, oh, okay, there's the G20, essentially the salesmen for the New World Order who are going to sell us globalization and how we need to compete against, you know, longer hours. You know, lower wages, longer hours and lower wages and poorer environmental standards and so on worldwide, because that's just the way it is. And that's the global system. And you figure, all right, if these rich people wasn't evil, then they would work on changing that. But because they is evil, they don't. And they don't put their significant influence towards it. And when they do show off and say they're trying to do something really good, guys like Bill Gates and so on, they're usually pimping GMO food, vaccines, and AIDS drugs, which kill people. Whereas AIDS, and look, check into this for yourself, The aliveandwell.org is a great place to start. But AIDS doesn't exist. The HIV virus has never been found and isolated. There's $100,000 reward for anybody that can do it. If you're a U of T, you know, health science student right now, go find the AIDS victim in this city and split the difference. Just say, hey, man, can I get a bit of your blood and put it on a little, blood looky-eddy thingy under a microscope, and you go through the standard, you know, virus isolation and purification process to find the HIV virus? And the answer is no, because you can't do that. No one's ever done that. It's never been tried. There's no statistical record of that. And when people die, it's because they die from the AIDS drugs. That's why, you know, every year you'll have Bush, you know, Harper, whoever, say, this year we solemnly swear to pledge $50 billion for drugs to fight AIDS in Africa. I used to hear Bush say that every year, and I'm just like, ah! The more AIDS drugs you put over there, the send over there, the more Africans you kill. You know, buy a red T-shirt, kill an African. You know, support the Red Gap campaign. It's crazy. And by the way, if AIDS was real here, and it is a super, super highly transmitted, sexually super infectious, easily transmittable, you know, disease that's spread through sexual contact and the exchange of other bodily fluids, then over the last 25 years, since the issue was really hot back in the 80s, you know, all of us by now should know or know of at least 5 people with AIDS. But we don't, because our culture wants us hypersexualized, so they're simply not testing for it as much. Oh, yeah, and by the way, AIDS tests, they're different in every country, different at every clinic, and they measure for a list of possible variables. So if you score 7 out of 10 on the test, you know, high T1 cell blood count, you know, these type of antibodies floating around in your system, you know, and so on and so forth, then they say, well, if like 5 or 6 of Joe's friends are there, then Joe must be there. So you have Joe. It's like, you could say, nah, man, Joe's not in this house. I got to check the whole place. I've been kicking it for a minute here. Joe's not here. But based on their testing, they would say, no, if you and Albert and Fred and Sally are there, Joe has to be there, because he always kicks it when all you guys are hanging around. And that's how they run the AIDS scam in a nutshell. I did interviews with Christine Maggiore and Robin Scahill. Christine Maggiore, a valiant activist who died herself tragically. But, you know, she's one of the people, you know, that exposed all this. And David Crow from ars.ab.ca. I told you I'll keep a pen and paper handy when I do these shows. But David, C-R-O-W-E. So if you Google Black Krishna and David Crow and AIDS, then you can find our historic interviews on this from 2-3 years ago. And I learned this then. I haven't learned anything else that changes my mind. It wasn't invented by the government to kill us or to kill black people, because it was invented by the government. We could find it. Sound cannons, on the other hand, were invented by the government, and we can find those being aimed at us at the G20 protest if we so indulge. To finish off the episode, you know, with the officer, after talking some anti-GMO smack, I did on the radio that morning, yesterday morning, I did decide to go down, and I it kind of absentmindedly, really, like I wasn't even, you know, I was just and so. After a half an hour, you know, a conversation about this that at times went up and down, you know, it started off with, do you have any ID on you? And that's kind of it's a leading question, because if you say no and you lie and they decide to search you, then you get, you know, called out for lying to the police. If you say yes and you don't show it to the officer, then he's going to be like, you know, a dog on a bone trying to get that thing. He's going to be like, okay, now that I know you have it, I'm not letting you leave till I see it. And so, you know, that's you know, a bit of a trap question. And wow, Mr. Bill Watson has entered the building, ready to bring you an awesome jazz bungee experience for the next 4 hours. So before he does that, though, allow me to finish articulating these thoughts so I don't get nobody randomly. And these thoughts are all sort of freestyle off the dome based on what's going on, Wagwan, as well as, and I got some news here for me. It's just World Cup stuff, and the cover of yesterday's Metro says forget politics for 90 minutes and so on. More summit fences, closures to snarl traffic. Again, this is a giant slap in the face to the city, as I said earlier in the show. And this should not be going on down here. If they wanted to do this, they should have done it like they did in Montebello, Quebec, where there's a couple thousand protesters, a handful of these guys, and they decide to get together and scrap with each other. And the rest of us don't have to be bothered with this nonsense. So please do keep that in mind. That's my feelings on that. But back to the ID question. So the question is, instead of responding yes or no to the question of if you have any ID on you, you know, you should definitely say, you know, may I ask why you're asking for my ID? You know, and can you tell me, you know, if I've done anything specifically wrong to get you to ask for my ID? And I'll maintain that that's what we should do. Now, during the G20 summit yesterday, what happened? Well, I kept saying, you know, here, would you like to take some flyers? Like, take some flyers. By the way, you can get my ID. You can get my name on that website there. I host a radio show on CKLN 4 days a week. You know, I asked for my supervisor's name. I said, officer, I'd rather not involve, like, a third party, you know, with anybody, you know, the police, anybody, but the police, you know, for no reason. And so we just kept going back and forth, you know, kind of, you know, whatever. And when you're talking with a police officer in this type of situation, you can't just speak freely. Like, I'm an argument. I talk like a boxer, but I'm not going to box with a cop. So occasionally, you know, you got to say, you know, I got to say something that's going to take me longer than a sentence to say it. I might need two or three. Well, don't say it that way, but I'll say, officer, may I speak freely for a second? And I'll explain something slightly longer, like, you know, my father told me that he knows that unless we've done something wrong, we shouldn't have to present ID. And he's like, oh, you know, you bring your father in this. I'm like, well, you know, I just want to make that point that, you know, I don't want to be treated special as press. I don't want to be treated special as who I am. I don't want to be treated special because half the cops know me in the city or whatever. I just want to be a guy who, you know, can a guy who can understand what ordinary Canadians are going to have to go through and deal with and what they should and how we can, you know, improve those conditions. That's basically my focus. But what happened yesterday? Well, looked at the flyers, looked through my camera, played some of the video. I encouraged him. I turned up the volume. He heard me talking on the video. Stupid damn fence. I hate this goddamn fence. It sucks. And it's all here just so the New World Order can show off their war on terror, police state toys, demonize dissent, demonstrate how they'll treat us if we have serious economic problems like we're supposed to, due to, you know, crippling IMF loan conditions, just like Greece and the rest of the world goes through. And we actually do decide to take to the streets against, you know, the leaders of the world. These guys will have been trained to see us one way and to treat us one way and to aim sound cannons at us because of a handful of anarchists, most of them being police provocateurs, like CBC News, August 23rd, 2007, reported three of them wearing masks and holding rocks were at the protest in Montebello against the SPP North American Union Summit in August of 2007, and they were caught. They were caught on YouTube. They were eventually caught by the other protesters, and they dove behind the police line. No one ever does that with cops clad in riot gear all hopped up. But they dove behind the police line for safety, and then they were taken down, handcuffed, and they were wearing the same boots as the guys arresting them. And the Sûreté de Québec, the Quebec police force, eventually admitted, yes, you know, it's all part of standard police procedure. So there are elements in these organizations that pull this kind of crap. And we got to save the good cops from these elements. Now, to finish off with the story with Officer Blake, who I wish well, and I wish all the cops well. They treated me fairly well. I mean, I at the end of the day, looked through my camera, heard me, you know, say all this stuff. Police state, divisive term, sold to us by the New World Order as part of our neuro-linguistic programming to separate us from our police, make them not like us, make us not like them, and blame the police for the state when it's actually the state. You should be blamed for these conditions, for what they order the police, and not just the police, but everyone else involved in this huge $1 billion protest fiasco to do. And so anyway, after investigating, you know, he still wanted my ID and a second officer would come over because whenever there's any, you know, length of time, somebody comes over in case there's trouble. He was real cool. And I think I knew him and he knew me in the sense of just sort of vaguely recognizing each other from the streets. And I'm cool, man. I hope the cops do their jobs. I hope they let me do mine. And I hope, you know, other people out there. I did mention that I was an activist at one point. We had a quick conversation about that. He said, see, you know, that was it. He could have said philosopher, radio show. You know, I was just, I don't want activist to be a bad word. And he said, agreed. But the whole underlying rubric of this is that there is a G20 summit going on. They have a job to do. And so I eventually caved. And I'm going to man up for that. I'm going to ball up for caving. After this officer was nice enough to give me a half an hour of his time. Or, you know, not nice enough to take a half an hour of mine. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I didn't see it as forcible confinement so much as filming the fence at the G20 summit based on the world we live in, based on what they told, based on the fact that he said he'd go to court and he'd fight me on this. He'd probably win. And then they said they might call intelligence over. And I thought, oh, great. You know, should I really get taken off the streets, you know, for 48 days on a terrorist certificate heroically right before the G20 so I don't have time to do this radio show, so I can't fly, so I can't whatever? Pick your battles, folks. Alex Jones says the same thing about taxes, the income tax in the States. Yes, it's illegal. The income tax is illegal. The 17th Amendment was never ratified. And the U.S. Federal Reserve is a fraudulent, you know, entity controlled by a handful of private, you know, individuals who manage the money supply and thus the economy of the United States and much of the world, along with their other central banking New World Order cronies. Go to BIS.org for the granddaddy of these bad boys. But the bottom line is that, you know, this is the world we live in. And if this officer, in front of other officers at noonish on a Wednesday at the G20 protest thing, is going to indulge me and going to be okay with my questions about what's going on for half an hour and deal with things rationally and to some degree allow me to explain myself while still, you know, not backing down from what he was saying, then, you know, it only... That's not what I want. Here we go. Then it behooves me to respect that. And so finally I caved, gave him the ID, wrote some down, a piece of paper. I might try and find out what that is later. But yeah, yeah, we're all in the same situation here against the New World Order. So what do we do about that? Well, again, I say F a protest. I'm lucky enough to be able to. I'm lucky enough to have the opportunity to. And I'm lucky enough to be able to suggest something better. So hand out flyers, hand out DVDs, you know, share websites, email people, comment on message boards, get together in groups like embattled politician Libby Davies is about to be because of her comments over Israel might be kicked out. A few people got 500 signatures on a petition and gave her enough political cover fire to ask for a new investigation into 9/11 in the House of Parliament based on the deaths of 24 Canadians during those attacks. So instead of just individually doing things, you can get together with other people. If you do this by yourself, you look crazy. If you do it with someone else, you don't look too crazy to make a friend. And if you're a click up and move on these issues. We got GMO foods killing us. We got deadly vaccines. We got a new world order. We got a crazy, you know, quote unquote police state conditions. And we got this giant protest ridiculousness where a bunch of well-informed people are supposed to get together, yell, blow off steam like they're at a rock concert, and go home. And we can do better than that. I know we can do better than that. So on that note, a couple of websites shout out. I am stealing Mr. Watson's time here. I will go in a sec. Infowars.com for a great overview, including the BP spill. Our thoughts and our outrage on this are being carefully managed in the way that our problems, reactions, and solutions are given to us to say we can't use oil anymore and this sucks and it's bad for the environment, so we need new carbon taxes for the fake global warming rapture that's supposed to take all our stuff. Get us to worry about the weather in 20 years instead of people now. Huge mistake. So again, go to Infowars.com for more. Naturalnews.com for great health news. TrendsResearch.com for phenomenal wealth news. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for great philosophical overviews. And locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca. Again, screening United We Fall film, Blur Cinema, tomorrow, 7 to 9 p.m. PressForTruth.ca. Check them out. Check out the trailers and check out if you want to check out the film. ConspiracyCulture.com, great book and DVD store at Queen of Roncesvalles. Toronto Street News and .com, great paper on the streets. And yeah, and so we all know this. I just passed by the Masonic Pyramid with the police officer finishing, you know, the last three bricks at Bay and College today. Just east or west of Young and College. And I've passed by it and I've mentioned it on a regular basis. So we all know that there is a giant conspiracy and we all know that we're trying to deal with it. So let's figure out how we deal with it in the best way possible by humanizing each other in light of this and then moving on things in the info war where you actually let people know things that are important, valuable, non-GMO shopping guide, VRAN.org for the risks of vaccines. And let's warn each other about the threat of false flag attacks in the next few days leading up to the G20 protests next week. And that's it for me, folks. I guess that'll do. It's my last show until Monday, so I am going a little hard. I am going a little long. Shout-outs to Officer Blake again and all the officers and all the other good people doing the best job they can under these conditions. Let's ride against the New World Order, see what we can get done, folks. Bill Watson's coming up next with a badass jazz bungee experience. Stick around, chill out. But that's it for me. Peace out. But too long, it seems. We're too strong, it seems. For mean greens and SWAT teams. Kiss out of pensions or the last of a trying greed. You try to say what they mean. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's won. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's won. Ride like
like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Ride like you know it's on. Ride like you know it's one. Nobody really than this, whatever. Everybody been saying that forever. It really ain't clever. So what's the matter? When nothing really matters, idol worship is working on idolgenic. In the real breakthrough, same way they stoop, sage cruise, crush politically correct crews. Common class, mistral and mass hypnosis, put them on blast. I'm banging out doses of bread, chill things so we can skill at will. Keep it real and still keep our ability to feel. My agility embedding reality feels like I was sleeping, slipping off propaganda, banana peels. Plans within plans, wheels within wheels. Congeal till we feel, they reveal, and we can deal. Nothing more you can ask for. Got crew for my task force, rush out of our ship and rip a mask off.
Guys, tell me about that to your young girl.